Welcome to all participants in Christ the King Sunday at Prairie Street Mennonite Church, November 22, 2015. Welcome. All who have braved the dip in temperature, visitors and regular attendees, a warm welcome. Welcome to you who are tuning in at a later time. Shirley Troyer in Corydon, Indiana, Mary Byler in Obihiro, Hokkaido, and Margaret Lehman at Greencroft Goshen, and others, welcome. Welcome to the last Sunday of the church year, the last Sunday before Advent. We are here in the presence of royalty, Christ the King, who seeks a home for Christ's throne in our hearts. In Hymnal, a worship book, turn to page 66, O Worship the King, as John Summers leads us. Please rise in body or spirit to sing number 66. Once, through the message of an angel, God revealed to us the union of divinity and humanity in Jesus Christ, through whose birth, life, suffering, death, and resurrection, we have been led to Christ's reign as King. Let us now worship the King, the Lord of the Church, whose reign dwells within and among us. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Let us pray. Dear God, you gave Jesus Christ all authority in heaven and earth. You took our humanity upon your shoulders and made it possible for us, feeble as frail, to be freed from being weighed down by the things of earth, to work joyfully for the things above. Christ the King, living and reigning with God and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever, we come before your royal presence to worship you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ the King, we adore and praise you. Our hearts and minds are keen to receive your precious, gracious, and life-giving habitation. Amen. Please stand for hymn 340.
Thank you. 307 in the same book. 307. We confess our sin, our faith. From the beginning, God has acted with grace and mercy to bring about salvation. Christ heals us, forgives our sins, and delivers us from the bondage of evil and from those who do evil against us. By Christ's death and resurrection, Christ opens the way to a new life as a reconciling community, living as a people of faith. We place our faith and trust in God, that by the same power that raised Christ from the dead, we may be raised in newness of life and look forward toward the fullness of salvation in the age to come. Let us pray. Sisters and brothers, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on us and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, liberating us to live as people of faith. Let us so live and share Christ the King's peace with the world. Amen. Please rise. The peace of Christ be with you.
Ren and Killian, thank you so much for coming up. Would you please bless our basket? Thank you. God's going to take those blessings and help the children in Ecuador. Thank you so much. What do you think of the snow? Nice?
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? Well, I hope you're not bored. I have another story about my friends Ryan and Carlos today. And in their class at school, they have a position called teacher's assistant. And it's a really important position. You get to help other kids and the teacher, and sometimes you get to make some pretty important decisions. But the class has to vote on it. And Carlos was one of the people running for that position. And there was another boy named Stephen who was also running for that position. So it was kind of hard for Ryan, but Ryan really wanted Carlos to win because he was a good friend, but also because although he liked Stephen, Stephen was kind of one of those guys that was pretty bossy, and he wanted things his way. And Ryan heard him say one time to some of the other guys on the football team, when I'm the teacher's assistant, I'm in charge, and people are going to do things my way. Well, that scared Ryan, so he started talking to Carlos. He said, Carlos, you have to win this thing. And he said, you're not doing a very good job at campaigning. And Carlos said, what did you mean? He said, well, number one, Stephen says that when he's teacher's assistant, kids aren't going to have to stay in for a recess to make up for their homework if they didn't bring their homework in like they do now. Well, Carlos says, well, I think that kids should make up their homework because it's going to hurt their grade. But if I'm teacher's assistant, I'm going to stay in at recess and help them with it. Ryan just shook his head. Well, you're not going to win that way. And he said, and Stephen said that if he wins, that his mom's going to bring Pizza Hut pizza once a month to class for the whole class. Why don't you do that? Carlos said, my mom and dad can't afford that. But I'll tell you what we're going to do if I'm teacher's assistant, we're going to take a vote of a food that they don't have in the cafeteria right now that maybe you would want them to have in the cafeteria. And the food that wins, I'm going to write to the principal and ask him to add that to the menu so that we can have it in the cafeteria. Ryan shook his head again. He said, you're hopeless. And he went home and he was glumping around. And mom noticed and she said, what's the matter? He said, Carlos is going to lose the election. So the whole story came out. He told mom about it. And mom said, so you really don't want Stephen to win? He said, oh, Stephen's okay, but Carlos would be better. And he said, why would Carlos be better? He said, well, because Carlos, he doesn't boss people around. He's like, he helps them, and he tries to work with people. Oh, said mom, sort of like Jesus. Ryan said, like Jesus? He said, yeah, you know, Jesus was the Son of God and the King of Heaven. And if he wanted people to do stuff his way, he could have just sent down a bunch of angels. Or he could have, you know, had a hurricane or a thunderstorm, scared them, right, into doing whatever he wanted. He said, he didn't do that. He just talked with them, and he blessed them, and he healed people. And I remember this one time, Ryan, that they had this big supper. And usually at the supper, the people that were serving the food and made the food, they would wash the feet of the guests. Because when Jesus lived, there was like dusty roads, and people either didn't wear shoes or they wore sandals, and their feet would get really dirty. So the servants would have to do that gringy job, but Jesus, he didn't. He did the job for them. And he told his disciples, that's the way we're supposed to treat people. She said, that sounds more like Carlos to me, don't you think? And Ryan looked at her and he nodded. She said, you know what? Whether Carlos wins the election or not, he's a winner in my book. Now today, Pastor Carolyn's going to talk to us about Jesus and the way he treated people and how he asked us to treat people as well. And I hope you'll listen carefully. And afterward, we're going to do some foot washing to remember Jesus and the way he washed the disciples' feet. So we're going to have a prayer. Then afterward, I'd like you to pick something here. I have something for you to remind you of how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to say you have to remove the plastic and put it in water. You know what it is, Ren? Okay. All right. So then you can figure out why I decided that would be a good thing to remind you. Okay, let's say our prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for Ren and Killian and for Silas, who are here today. And we pray, and Zach also, thank you. And we pray for all the children that aren't here this Sunday. We are so blessed by them. And we thank you that they, like Jesus, help other people. They want to help other people. They love helping other people. And they show your love in so many different ways. We pray that you will bless them this holiday week in school, on the playgrounds, in their homes, and bring them safely back to us next Sunday. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus the King. Amen. Okay, you may come and get to pick something. Okay. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 93. The Lord is King, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, he is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting.
Salmos 93. El Señor reina. El Señor se ha vestido de magnificencia. El Señor se ha revestido de gran poder. El Señor afirmó el mundo, y este no se moverá. Su trono es firme desde el principio. El Señor es el Rey eterno.
The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea. Majestic on high is the Lord.
Los ríos levantaron. Señor, los ríos levantaron su voz. Los ríos levantaron sus olas. Tú, Señor, en las alturas, eres más poderoso que el estruendo de los mares, más poderoso que las fieras olas del mar.
Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Tus testimonios, Señor, permanecen firmes. La santidad es el adorno de tu templo, por siempre y para siempre.
The New Testament reading is Revelation 1, 4 to 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Lord, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Apocalipsis 1, 4, 8. Que la gracia y la paz esté con ustedes de parte del que es, el que era, el que ha de venir, y de los siete espíritus que están ante su trono, y de Jesucristo, el testigo fiel, primogénito de entre los muertos y soberano de los reyes de la tierra. Él nos amó, con su sangre nos lavó nuestros pecados, y nos hizo reyes y sacerdotes para Dios, su Padre. Por eso, a Él sea dada la gloria y el poder por los siglos de los siglos. Amén. Miren, ya vienen las nubes y todos lo verán, aun los que traspasaron, y a todas las naciones de la tierra harán lamentación por él. Sí, amén. Dios, el Señor, dice: Yo soy el Alfa y la Omega, el principio y el fin, el que es, el que era y el que ha de venir. Soy el Todopoderoso. Palabra del Señor.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be God.
This morning we are grateful for Pastor Carolyn Gardner Hunt, a woman of multiple talents, deep conviction, ready laughter, and an intriguing word she has prepared for us: the end of the world as we know it. Preach it, Pastor Carolyn. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God, for Pastor Carolyn's ministry. May she hold the Christ light for us in the nighttime of our fear. May she speak the peace we long to hear. And as we sing to you in heaven, let us find such harmony of all we've known and seek together, that Christ the King's love and agony, through lavish grace, swathe our worship and service, today commemorated in washing one another's feet, as you instructed your first disciples. We do praise and honor you. Amen.
Amen.
This time of year, as the seasons change suddenly, and the holidays approach with breakneck speed, the air seems to be full of memories and meaning. The mere sight of cranberries in the produce case at Aldi is enough to get me thinking about the Foley food mill that you hand crank, and my grandmother's cranberry sauce. The leaf piles across the street before they got snowed on take me back to the year we moved here, when our boys jumped and played in the neighbor's yard. The scent of sugar cookie dough opens the floodgates of memory. Now, I know that the particular experiences I have mentioned are conditioned to the weather and culture of this place in North America, and how the seasons of autumn and winter coincide with the end of the church year. And your memories that really define who you are may be different, so I want you to take a moment and bring to mind whatever memories of love and celebration and security are really key to you. At times, the love suffusing those memories bears us up. Other times, our recollections only serve to point out the absence of people, places, and traditions we love. As I've walked our neighborhood and parks with the dogs over the past few weeks, I noticed that as the leaves dropped from the trees, the inner structure of the trees was revealed. That's something we don't see most of the year. Sometimes the shape of the tree is strong and familiar, and other times it's grown in unexpected ways, and it's tangled, or the branches have crossed each other and rubbed, creating wounds. But always taking away the outer appearance of the leaves reveals the inner shape of the tree. And I've been wondering if this collision of seasons does the same thing to us. This time of year clarifies our core memories. If you saw the movie Inside Out, you know that little phrase. And our deepest personal values. While the news from around the world pierces our hearts. Syrian refugee camps. Terrorist attacks in Paris and Belgium. Hostages taken in Mali. Local news is not immune. Gunshots are heard frequently in our neighborhood. A couple of days ago, just a few blocks from here, police made a huge drug bust, confiscated weapons, narcotics, synthetic marijuana. And yet this weekend, according to Indiana state law, anyone over 18 can go up to the Northern Indiana Event Center just off the toll road, and they can buy a gun from a private, unlicensed seller without a background check. That dissonance is almost too much to bear. What is the matter with people? What is our world coming to? Clinical psychologist Kelly Flanagan puts it this way. The human ego, while formidable and dangerous and violent and corrosive, is completely predictable. It creates tribes and then wars against every other tribe, because it finds some sense of security and certainty in this way of living and dying. It destroys everything along the road to power because it believes power will solve all of its problems. And when power doesn't fix everything, it fights for more. So you're going to come for all of our tribes, and your ego is going to trigger our collective ego, and we're going to fight back mercilessly. We're going to find you and put an end to you. The problem is, though our machines are bigger than yours, your zealotry is bigger than ours, so there will be no winner and no victor. Just more death. You don't have to flip through too many pages of the Bible or human history to find this is not a new phenomenon. People have always done horrible things to one another. Throw in a few natural disasters like the earthquakes my friends in Kansas had this week. Mix that with human sinfulness, and the end of the world as we know it starts to sound like a good thing. We need a different way to be. So what do the scriptures offer us on this last Sunday of the church year? Some images that can be frightening, like the book of Daniel, that thing is whacked out. When you read that, those kind of things scared me as a kid. But they're also reassuring words. The Lord is King, robed in majesty. God has established the whole world. Even the floods lift up their roaring in praise. The author of Revelation greets us with the threefold divine name, God who is, and who was, and who is to come, and with the three titles of Jesus, faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Those are powerful words. God's love for us is the same yesterday when we made those memories that are stirring around in our brains. Today, under the barren trees, under a layer of snow. And forever, when our children's children worship in this place. In fact, the only thing about God's love that is changing is that one day Jesus will come again in person to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Christ the King. If you look at art representations of Christ the King, you often see Jesus holding the Bible, the gospel in one hand, and raising his hand and blessing in the other, or sometimes holding an orb, a symbol of power, and like you see kings and queens hold still today, that he's simultaneously that fair judge but merciful. And that's our King. So why do we practice foot washing at Prairie Street on this observance of Christ the King? When Jesus, the night before he died, shared a last meal with his disciples, he revealed the essence of his kingship in the simple actions of sharing bread and wine and performing humble service. He removed his outer garment, took off his suit coat, maybe. He took a towel and wrapped it around himself and performed the act usually relegated to the lowliest servant. At the Elkhart Bible study this week, we struggle to think of a modern action analogous to this one. There's not really an equivalent gesture that's performed for guests in Western culture. You could think of humble jobs, maybe a high-powered CEO if he goes on undercover boss and poses as a janitorial worker to scrub the toilets. Maybe that could express the humility Jesus demonstrated. Or Donald Trump taking off his toupee and his jacket and putting a towel over his arm and waiting tables in complete anonymity. It's so drastic. But we wash feet today because we love Jesus and we want to obey him. His action teaches us how to relate to each other as Christ followers. You can't wash someone's feet from a few pews away, more than arm's distance. We must come close to one another. We make ourselves vulnerable, removing the socks and shoes that cover our gnarly, linty toes and cracked heels. We allow ourselves to be touched lovingly by someone we might not even know very well yet. And then we kneel and we do the same for the child of God next to us. We smile, we embrace, and we may even weep. We wash each other's feet because the ruler of the kings of the earth, who has existed since before time began, humbled himself for us. Words are not enough to express our gratitude and thanksgiving. We use our bodies to worship God in foot washing. When we kneel today at the feet of our brothers and sisters, may we recognize the body of Christ in their bodies and feel God molding us into the image of Jesus as we wash each other's feet. May the Holy Spirit come and hover over those waters, and may our love for each other be manifest as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of Christ, our King. Amen.
Our response hymn is found in your bulletin insert. The Church of Christ Cannot Be Bound. These are words by Adam Tice. And the tune we will use is In Christ There Is No East or West.
Thank you. We welcome you to this experience of foot washing. If you choose, you can stay in your seat and reflect and observe and listen to the music. We invite men to come to this front circle, and men, you'll notice there's chairs set up so you can make a circle. You might have to take turns. This is a service of hospitality, of serving each other, of welcome. There are more towels on the table, men, if you need them. Women foot washing is in the fellowship hall. We invite you to proceed there. If you choose to participate in hand washing, there are two tables back in the narthex, and you will gather around those tables, and you will take turns and serve each other and help each other in this ritual. There are chairs back there if you need to sit, or you can stand. And at each station, there is a basket for mutual aid offering, and you'll notice that in your bulletin there's a description of how Prairie Street dispenses mutual aid. So I invite you now to this time of mutual service and reflection and blessing of each other. You proceed to your stations.
We really can comprehend you, your greatness, almighty King and God. You are wonderful, and so are your promises to us. You have given us so much to be thankful for. The beautiful rainbow on Wednesday evening. The gorgeous sunsets we've experienced recently. And the beauty of the snowy world outside today. And there are also many wounds in this world and in this neighborhood. But God, you are still in charge. We know that we can give thanks and rest in the peace of knowing that. Thank you for friends and for a church family. For the love that we share here among ourselves and each other. We thank you for challenges that make us grow, for opportunities to serve and to be served. Help us, God, to live holy lives that will draw others towards your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for our final hymn, number 580. 580.
There sometimes seems to be so many feet to wash. But Jesus says, no, they're only my feet. What you do for them, what you do for the least of these, you do for me. So now receive this blessing. May the Lord teach us to wash the feet of the world, and may the mighty Spirit of God wash you and make you one body in Christ, bound together, refreshed, renewed, now led to joyful service. Amen.